With you tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. We appreciate that good singing. Appreciate the good singing. I appreciate the singers. Most of all, I appreciate the visitation of the Holy Spirit. We never take that lightly, never take that for granted. And we're grateful for the Holy Ghost when He stops by and just lets us feel Him for a minute. And that is a wonderful thing. Grateful for that, thankful for that. Luke chapter number 24, if you're there and you want to stand with us, I'll invite you to do that at this time. Read to you what is probably a very familiar passage of Scripture. And we'll begin in verse number 13, read down through verse number 35, and see if we can't find a thought for today, okay? Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, "What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said to Him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And He said to them, "What things?" I believe He knew what things He's talking about. He's just talking to Him here, getting to the heart of the matter. And they said to Him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished that they were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but they saw not. And He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the Scripture things concerning Himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made that He would have gone further, but they constrained Him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And He went to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He walked with us by the way, while He opened us the Scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon." And they told that what things were done in the way, how He was known unto them in the breaking of bread. Father, help us for a few minutes. Lord, let us decrease so that You can increase. Lord, just get us out of the way so that somebody can see You this morning. Help us in the preaching of the Word of God is our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday morning, I preached a message from Luke chapter number 23. And in that passage of Scripture, we found ourselves just moments before Calvary. This morning, we find ourselves in Luke chapter number 24, one chapter later. And now we find ourselves just days after Calvary. 3 days after Calvary, to be exact. And in this passage of Scripture that we just read, there are two disciples that are making the journey from Jerusalem back to Emmaus. And as they journey, they begin to discuss the things that have happened in recent days. That brings up the question, what was the things that they talked about? Well, I think that you know they talked about what happened from verse 1 down through verse number 13. Early this very morning, according to verse number 1,
a group of women made their way toward the sepulcher where Jesus was buried. And as they walked toward the sepulcher, this was their conversation. I wonder who's going to roll the stone back when we get there. But boy, did they make a discovery that morning when they arrived at the sepulcher. They did not need someone to roll the stone back. The stone had already been rolled back. And they were met by a couple angels that said, "He's not here, he's alive. Go tell the disciples he's not here any longer." And he got up that morning, did he not? And those women run back. They tell the story of the disciples. Peter gets excited, runs to the sepulcher in chapter 24, comes back testifying that he is not there. And as these two begin to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they begin to talk with one another. And you know how the story unfolds. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a third walker appears on the path. And he begins to question them what it is they're talking about. They explain to him about Christ's crucifixion. They explain the stories of the resurrection. They're not sure they believe it at this point. But they explain the story of the resurrection. And Jesus begins to talk to them as they make this 7-mile journey. And finally, when they get to Emmaus, Jesus acts like he's going to go on. And they compel him to stay. And there in that little home in Emmaus, he breaks bread, he gives thanks. Their eyes are open and they realize that it was really him. The stories are true. He is not dead any longer. He is alive. He is risen. And they go back to Jerusalem with joy in their heart because they realize that Christ has conquered death. Amen. And I love the story of the Emmaus disciples. I really do. I have preached from this text on occasions before. But this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to deal with this passage of Scripture a little different than I ever have. When we consider these two disciples in this passage, the story of the resurrection is so big and it's so powerful that it just overshadows everything else that's going on in the story. And while this is certainly a resurrection chapter and a resurrection theme, there's something happening in chapter 24 that I want you to notice. Here is a godly couple. I believe this is Cleophas and his wife, because his wife was one of the ones that went to the sepulcher. Anyway, this is a godly couple, and this couple is facing the biggest defeat that they have ever faced in their lives. They are brokenhearted. Their world has been shaken to its core. If I could say it this way, I would say they were defeated, they were discouraged, and they were depressed. This couple is a picture in my mind of many that are in our churches today. At one time or another, there are people that they were on the mountaintop with Christ. They had hope in their soul. They believed that everything in their life was going to work out perfect. They were shouting from the housetops, and then something happened that brought them to a place where they felt like just giving up and going home. There are many things that can bring us to this place in our Christian life. And let's be honest, just life in general. While there are many things that can bring us to this point, I'm not going to preach on these things, but I want you to notice three things that brought these disciples to this point. I'll give you my thought in a minute. Notice what brought them to this place of defeat and discouragement and depression. I'll say it this way. It was unexpected tribulation that brought them to this point. The Bible says that when Jesus asked them what they're so upset about, they said, "Have you not heard what's happened in recent days? They have gone against the one we thought would be the Messiah, and they have beaten him, and they have crucified him. They have sentenced him to death. He has died. There's been tribulation in recent days. There's been persecution in recent days." Can I say that unexpected tribulation can bring us to this point in our Christian life? It could be the loss of a job. It could be a child that goes astray. It could be divorce. It could be someone that gets sick. It Could be our house catches on fire. It's any number of things. But out of the blue, unexpectedly, something comes and it brings us to our knees. I think that maybe it was someone that they loved was taken from them that brought them to this point. Think about this. They believed Him to be the Messiah. They believed Him to be the Christ. And now He has been ripped from their lives. He has been crucified. He's been dead for 3 days. Boy, if there's anything that can bring you to your knees, it is the loss of someone that you love. It could be the death of a parent or the death of a child, the death of a spouse, the death of a friend. But when someone is unexpectedly taken from your life, that is devastating. Maybe I can say it this way. Their plans for the future fell through and it brought them to this point. Have you ever had a plan in your mind of how your future was supposed to go, how your life was supposed to turn out, what tomorrow was supposed to look at, only to wake up and find out that your world took a turn that you did not expect it to take? And things were not going to turn out like you wanted. And the future did not look like you wanted it to look. And it brought you to a place of discouragement and depression. There are many things that can bring us to the point that we find these two disciples at. And I look at these two disciples and I want to preach this morning on this thought. Empty at Emmaus. Empty at Emmaus. I see these two brokenhearted disciples, but I don't want us to focus completely on their discouragement. Because by the time this passage is over, they are no longer discouraged. They are rejoicing, they are praising God by the time the story comes to an end. And I want to show you three things that brought them from the place of weeping to the place of rejoicing. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see their conversation. I want you to see their conversation. Look at verse number 17. And He, Jesus, said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" As the two disciples are walking, the Bible says that they're talking with each other. They are discussing everything that has happened over these past few days. They are no doubt expressing to one another the hurt and the confusion and the disappointment that they have in their lives. But as they are walking and as they are talking, someone appears, and if you'll let me say it this way, He just kind of butts Himself into their conversation, does He not? He says, "What manner of communications are these? What is it that you're talking about?" And the moment that this man butts Himself into their conversation, these two disciples stop talking to each other about the issue and they start talking to Jesus about the issue. Allow me to say as kindly as I can that I understand that when we are faced with hardships, that it helps sometimes to talk to a friend, and it can help sometimes to talk to a family member, and I understand that it can help to talk to the pastor. But can I say that when you are faced with discouragement, the one that you need to be talking to the most is talking to Him, because He is the one that you can have a conversation with, and He is the one that can help you in your time of discouragement. These two disciples stop talking to each other and they stop talking to Jesus about it. Hey, I'll be honest with you. Something I've noticed this. Most of the time when hardship comes into people's lives, they want to talk to everybody else except God about what's going on. Amen. Hey, they stop talking to each other and they start talking to God. I would imagine that many of you have felt like if you could just sit down and talk to the Lord about what it was that you were going through at that phase in your life, it could have made everything better. Boy, a lot of people have had that thought. I thought of Job. Job said in Job 9:32, he said, "For he's not a man as I am, that I should answer him and that we should come together in judgment." Job said, "I wish God was a man so we could sit down and talk about some things." You ever heard anybody say this when they're going through something? They'll say, "When I get to heaven, I'll understand all about it." You know what they're saying? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about it. They're saying, if I could have a conversation with God. Well, can I say two things to you? Let me say, number one, when you get to heaven, it ain't going to matter. Amen. And let me say, number two, that you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to have a conversation with Him. You can have a conversation with Him today. You can go to heaven right here from Knoxville, Tennessee. You can talk to God this very day. Hey, they had a conversation. In this conversation, I see three things. I see an illustration of prayer. I see an illustration of prayer. Verse 18, "And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him." Now this one's obvious. This one didn't take a lot of thinking and studying out. It's just right there in the text. When the Lord asked the two disciples what it is that is bothering them, Cleophas just begins to pour his heart out to Jesus. This verse says that he just takes his heart and he just lays it bare and he just opens up to Jesus about everything that is bothering him. In this verse, I see a picture of prayer, because Cleophas was doing just exactly what the Bible said to do for you and me in 1 Peter 5:7, when it said, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." Hey, can I say that when you're empty and you're Emmaus, you can talk to God in prayer. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Throughout the pages of the Bible, the Word of God has given us a promise of prayer. Over and over and over again, God has told us to come to Him and commune with Him. God wants to hear from every one of us. I'll tell you, there have been times in my life when I've been faced with difficulty and darkness and I did not know what to do. And in those times, I have discovered that going to God in prayer will help me in my time of discouragement. You know, there have been times that I've gone to God in prayer and I couldn't even get the words out. I was so brokenhearted. You ever been like that? You ever gone to God and you know what you're going through, you know what's in your heart, but you just can't verbalize it. You can't get it out. You can't say it. All you can do is weep and all you can do is cry. But in those times, I've also discovered that if I get with God and I talk to God about what's going on, it may not make all the problem go away just then, but I get up from my knees with a hope and a strength and an encouragement that I did not have when I went there in prayer. Sometimes it's like God just comes and puts His arms around you and says, "I have got this. It's going to be okay." And Cleophas and his wife were brokenhearted. But when they talked to God, they finish up saying, "This ain't as bad as we thought it was. Things aren't as dark as we believe them to be. Everything's going to be all right." Because they had a conversation with God in the hour of prayer. I see a picture of prayer. Not only do I see a picture of prayer, I see a picture of the passages. I see a picture of the passages. Verse 27 says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the scriptures of these things concerning Himself." Verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the scriptures?" You see, after the disciples told Jesus everything that was in their heart, the Lord began to speak to them. I want you to notice how it was the Lord spoke to him. He spoke to them through the Scriptures. Verse 27 says, "He began with Moses and the prophets and expounded to them the Scriptures." You say, what is Moses and the prophets? Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Pentateuch, it's Moses. And the prophets there are Isaiah and Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Hosea and Joel and Amos. You know what he did to them? He opened to them the Word of God. And from the Word of God, he had a conversation with them. Someone has wisely said that prayer is you talking to the Lord, and reading your Bible is the Lord talking to you. Amen. You know something I believe we're guilty of many times? We're guilty of having one-way conversations with God. Amen. Oh God, I need this, and oh God, I want that, and oh God, fix this if you would, God. But when's the last time we've taken our Bible and let God talk to us? Now I understand, I believe that God can speak to our hearts in those moments of prayer. I believe that. God speaks to my heart through meditation. Many times you just meditate and ponder on the things of God and the Word of God. But if you're going to get a word from heaven, it is going to come through the pages of the Word of God. Amen. Hey, you think about these discouraged disciples and our discouragement. The Word of God is able to speak help to us in our down times. You get to going through a hard time and the bills are coming due and you don't know how you're going to make it and you don't know how you're going to take care of everything you need to take care of. And then you pick up the Word of God and God says, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you read over there where the psalmist David said, I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And God says, I've taken care of you before, I'll take care of you again. Hey, you get to the point in your life when you feel all alone and you feel like nobody cares and nobody is there and you're isolated, you're on an island by yourself. But you read over there, well, I think it was the prophet Isaiah said, when my mother and my father hath forsaken me, then will the Lord lift me up. And you find out you're not all alone. You read where Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you even into the ends of the world. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Word of God says. You say, the world is against me. The devil is against me. My family's against me. And you read over there where Jesus said, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you find out it doesn't matter if the world is against you, because you got one on your side that has conquered the world. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, there's something about the Word of God. In fact, you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that when I need something, it is oftentimes when I go to the Word of God, God will take a verse that I have seen, that I have read 100 times, and He will take that verse that I've seen and read 100 times, and He'll show me something from it that I've never seen before, that's been there the whole time. But it's just Him speaking to me when I needed Him the most. You can have a conversation in prayer. You can have a conversation in the passages of the Word of God. Hey, you can have a conversation and God can speak to you through the preaching of the Word of God. I see a picture of preaching. Verse 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the Scriptures. Notice that word expounded. That word expounded means to set forth. It means to explain in detail. It means to interpret. That means that Jesus did more than just rehearse the Scriptures to them. Jesus preached the Word of God to them is what He did on this Emmaus road. Hey, when the Lord gave me this message of these two Emmaus disciples, I immediately began to think back into the times in my life where God has spoken to me through the preached Word of God. In fact, I began to think of some times where God has even changed my life and changed my future because I heard a gospel message. I thought about over 18 years, almost 18 years ago. I've told you this story before when me and Davina were wanting to start a family, and Davina kept bugging me about having a baby. I want to have a baby. And I sit down one day, Brother David. She was working at Sears, a manager at Sears, and I was working, and I did all of our bills. And then I looked at what I would make if she quit her job and stayed home with the kids, because that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to stay home with them until they got into school. And the number that I brought home and the number that the bills required did not add up. I would come up with a deficit. And I said, babe, there ain't no way. Ain't no way you can quit your job right now. We just can't. And I remember I had a little red Nissan pickup truck. And I was driving around in Knoxville doing my job in my little red Nissan pickup truck. And I'll tell you how long ago it was. It had a tape player in it. And I had a tape in there of Dr. Joe Arthur. And he preached a message on little as much when God is in it. And God will get in it when you give Him what you got. And riding around a little red pickup truck, I said, God, I guess I'll just trust you about this. And can I say we've missed a meal? Our bills are paid. Hey, we've had some skinny times and we've had some tough times. But God has always been faithful. Amen. God's always been faithful. I thought about a few years ago going into Landmark Baptist Church. The morning that I announced my call to preach, scared to death, scared out of my mind, didn't know what God wanted for my life. All I knew is that God had taken my little world that I thought I had everything figured out, and He started shaking it up. And I wasn't expecting it, and I was scared. And my pastor, Dr. Sievert, got up, and he preached a message that morning about that little boy and his little bitty sack lunch. And he preached on just surrendering to God and giving what you've got to God. And that morning I said, God, I'm not much, but I'll give it to you. Amen. I'm talking about God speaking to us through the Word of God. I remember riding around on my... I'm telling you, God's used some words to speak to me. I remember riding around on my little lawnmower in my yard, mowing my grass one day. Had my earbuds in. I was listening to the late Dr. Jack Hiles. Jack Hiles was preaching that famous message on this kind. And he was talking about this kind of miracles and this kind of ministry and this kind of church. And I'm listening to Jack Hiles as he's preaching on this kind. And I just couldn't help it anymore, and I couldn't stand it anymore, and I cut my lawnmower off and got by the side of my house and laid on my stomach in the grass. Surrendered my life to God again and asked God to fill me with His Holy Spirit. And I believe that's the day that He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. I believe that. A few years ago, being at a youth conference in Asheville, North Carolina, Brother C.T. Townsend preached a message on leaven, and he talked about how small leaven was. And Brother C.T. said, sometimes you've got to get in a small place before God can expand it and put you in a big place. And I went to that altar and I crawled up on the side of that altar and I said, God, no matter where you want to put me, I just want to be used by you. I'm talking about God having a conversation with us through the Word of God. When you're down and when you're discouraged, a conversation with the Lord will give you the strength that you need to go on. I see a conversation in our passage of Scripture. I want you to notice this number two. Not only do I see a conversation, but I see a communion in our Scriptures. I see a communion. Look at verse 30. And it came to pass that as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. Their eyes were open and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. As they traveled to Emmaus, a conversation is taking place between the discouraged disciples and the Lord. When they finally arrive at the city, the Lord makes like He's going to continue to go on and leave them. They do not want this stranger to leave, so they compel Him to come in and lodge with them that night. Jesus goes into their house, and as an act of hospitality, they set before Him something to eat. And it seems that they're so impressed with the stranger that they ask Him to bless the food before they eat it. The Bible says that Jesus picks up the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it. Does that remind you of any other passage of Scripture, by the way? Oh, it's just one chapter before, Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You know what Jesus did in this little house in Emmaus? He served them communion is what he did. I'm not telling you that a piece of unleavened bread and some grape juice are going to help you in your time of discouragement, but I am telling you that remembering what the Lord did for you on Calvary should help you in your times of discouragement. Communion is more than a ritual. Communion is a remembrance of what God has done for us. In communion, we remember the death of the Lord. In our times of darkness, we can look back to Calvary with a thankful heart. To remember what God did for us is a powerful thing. God loved you so much that on Calvary He gave His only begotten Son a ransom for your soul. On Calvary your sins were forgiven, your debt was paid, your eternity was changed. Hey, when you look back to Calvary, God should be able to pick you up from your discouragement. The songwriter got it right when they said, "When I thank Him for what He has done, I must look back to the crucified one. And on that beautiful shore, I must kneel once more just to thank Him for what He has done." It is hard to be down and discouraged when your heart is full of thanksgiving. Amen. Yes. Allow me to say, as I look back to the cross, it puts some things in perspective too. Hey, when you look back at the cross, I promise you that I'm not trying to diminish what you're going through, but when you compare what you're going through with what He went through, it seems like what you're going through is nothing. When we go through hard times, we get the idea that nobody else has suffered. We feel alone, but Calvary helps us to realize that is not true. Christ willingly suffered for our sins. Hey, I see the death of the Lord. I see a display of love. Calvary not only shows us that someone suffered, it shows us that someone suffered for us. Calvary displays the truth that we are loved. John, 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Suffering says no one cares, but Calvary says, "I love you." Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loveth at all times, a brother is born for adversity." And then Proverbs 18:24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Amen. Hey, Jesus Christ is our friend and He loves us. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the devil tells you, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how many bad choices you've made, God loves you and Calvary proves it. Let me finish. I've got to close. I see the conversation. I see the communion. Last of all, I see the confidence. I see their confidence. Verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened us the Scriptures?" They arose the selfsame hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, them that were with them. In verse 13, they're heading from Jerusalem to Emmaus with broken hearts. Their world has collapsed. They feel all alone. One conversation with Christ and one look toward Calvary changed all of that. Now they have joy in their spirit. With this change, they immediately get up and they make their journey back to Jerusalem. Let me show you something here before I close. I want you to see what this confidence did. This confidence allowed them to get back to work. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They say that the average person can walk a mile in 20 minutes. That's what they say. The average person can walk a mile in 20 minutes. That means that it took over 2 hours to get from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They walk 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's evening. They say in the verse, the day is far spent. It's evening time. They're going to eat supper and go to bed. I would imagine they just finished walking 7 miles. They probably wore out. Wouldn't you be if you just walked 7 miles? They just walked 7 miles, they're wore out. And Jesus just starts to ask the blessing on the supper and everything changes. And the very first thing they say is, we need to get back to Jerusalem. And so they get up and they walk 7 miles back. You say, what would cause these people to walk 7 miles in the evening to get back to Jerusalem? I believe they had a realization in their heart that they knew there was something for them to do back in Jerusalem. You see, going from Jerusalem down to Emmaus showed that they were discouraged, they were depressed, they were going to the house and giving up. But to get back to Jerusalem says, I've got hope, I've got confidence, I've got faith, I am going to get back to work for God. That's what going back said. Often we go through difficulties, we decide it's better for us just to go home, just to sit down, just to let somebody else do it. We grow convinced everything would be better off if somebody else was doing it. But a conversation with Christ and a look back to Calvary, something begins to happen in your heart and you begin to say, I'm not the best, but God, if you'll let me do something, I'd like to do something. And if you'll let me keep going, I'd like to keep going. And if God, if you'll give me the strength, I'll get back to Jerusalem and I'll serve you once again. They had to get back to work. They had to go be a witness. Verse 34, saying the Lord is risen and hath appeared to Simon. Notice finally, when they finish their journey back to Jerusalem, the first thing they want to do is tell God, somebody about what God had done in their lives. Their testimony was going to be a help to someone else that was struggling with the same things that they were struggling with. There may be somebody that needs your help. And you've been empty at Emmaus and you've been brokenhearted. It may be that you need to help somebody else. You need to sit down next to him and say, God appeared to me in my low point. God picked me up. What he did for me, he can do for you. Amen. I wonder, as Brother Scott comes to get us a song, I don't know. I don't know who I've preached to this morning. I hope and I pray that there's nobody here today that is empty and broken. If you are, can I say a conversation with him? A look at Calvary can help that. Might be that you'll face something tomorrow and you need to remember what was said today. And in your low season, remember that God loves you and God cares. Sing us a verse of a song.